because of snow. But we're used to it, and so how many want it to snow on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day? And that's it. Oh, you're getting old too. I just experienced something today. I like it that we're a hugging church, that we hug a lot. So I'm not going to have you stand up and do that now. We'll do that at the end. But it makes us feel close. And for me, it makes me feel very special and royal, because there's a lot of tall people, and they all have to bow when they hug me. That might not be the reason. But it's nice that we're a close church. Today we want to look at Emmanuel's kingdom of peace and joy. And that this is what God wants for us, is this kingdom of peace and joy. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the songs. We could celebrate Christ coming, you sending a Savior, so that we can rejoice in the midst of our enemies. As we wait for the kingdom of God to come in fullness, we enjoy it in part, and it's a wonderful thing. Help us to appreciate all that you have done and all that you're yet to do, and help us to be your witnesses, sharing the good news so that other people can experience the peace with God and the peace of God in the midst of a world full of strife. And that they can have joy in their life, even though there's trouble in this life, joy in knowing you and having you in their life because of Christ. Help us as we look into your scripture to learn more of who you are, how wonderful you are, and what it means that we belong to Christ. And it's in his name we ask, and we say amen. Amen. So, we're looking at his kingdom. We do say that Christmas is a time of joy. And how many would agree with that? How many feel joyful at Christmas? How many feel stressed out at Christmas at the same time? So we have mixtures of joy and love, but we shouldn't be worried about it, because this is God's plan. Remember what we read last week, the angels announcing to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. Because you see, this is the reason God created us. Anyone come from a Presbyterian background? Did you learn the Westminster Shorter Catechism? What's the first question? What is the chief end of man? Why did God create man? What's man's purpose? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God created us for joy. And the chief joy is knowing God. Joy is living in such a way that we enjoy life as God designed us to live. And remember, we've been saying this for a long time. God is love. Love wills the good for those that are loved, the beloved. God wills the good for us. God's will is good for us. Is that right? Can we say, God is good? All the time. All the time? God, he is. But it doesn't always seem like that to us. And that's the world's message to us, is that God is not good and his will is not good. But the Bible says God is good and his will is good. And the trouble in this world is not from God. And God is about to fix that. The world fights against this truth that God is good. The world's system is built to deny this truth. God, Satan rules this world. Satan blamed God for trouble in paradise. Remember? He said, oh, life isn't as good as it should be. God's holding out on you. You need to do this thing God told you not to do, and then you'll have the good life. Then you'll be wise, and then you'll have everything you need. They believed his lie, and because of that, that's what brought trouble in the world. And ever since then, we've had trouble. So, and ever since then, Satan and the world system have been blaming God for trouble in the world. And that's, the world actually believes this story. The good news is a different story. It's God's story. It's the truth about life. It's the solution to the trouble in the world. It's the way back to Eden. It's the way back to peace and joy that God created. Remember, paradise is God's goodness where he provided everything we needed. Life, peace, shalom, safety, food, love. Everything was good. They enjoyed life that God made for them. They had joy. That's the experience of life as God designed it. So God's goodness provided these things, and God said about it, this is very good. But the best part was that God walked and talked with Adam and Eve right there in the garden. They experienced joy. It was an intimate relationship with the Creator. Joy is to enjoy God and his goodness forever. Paradise is to live in God's kingdom. But paradise was lost. How did that happen? God's kingdom was attacked. Mankind was enslaved to the devil. God set about to win back this peace for his kingdom, to redeem mankind from slavery and restore paradise. There was a promise right to the woman. Well, actually, it was to the snake, about the woman. As a curse upon the snake was a blessing to us. He said, I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And then, because seed is a plural and singular noun combined, he said, he, that is the seed of the woman, will bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And of course, this is kind of a riddle. It's a prophecy and a riddle. What does it mean, bruise? What does it mean, seed of the woman? Why didn't he say the seed of the man and woman? And then later we learn, as the prophecies unfold, that this seed would come through a virgin without the help of a man. Paul tells us in the book of Galatians that when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God wants us back in his family. And he says, because you're sons, he sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is the way to say daddy. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, no longer enslaved to sin, no longer enslaved under the rule of the devil, but a son of God, and a son and therefore an heir of God. The angel said, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, who is Christ the Lord. And we asked this last week, what causes fear? And what was the first fear? It's when we sinned against God and we felt separate from God. And so we look again at the deception. Satan, man's enemy, pretended to be a friend, tricked man to doubt their true friend, tricked man to distrust and disobey their true master, and tricked man to become his slaves. It's continued this way ever since. This brought destruction. The false friend and true enemy now becomes the master. The true master and true friend becomes the enemy. Man's home, the earth, is under a curse, ruled by the enemy. Mankind loses peace, safety, food, love, life, all of these things. We have to struggle for them. Man loses joy at the deepest point, our relationship with God. But there's a promise. God promises a Savior. The Savior will destroy Satan and reverse the curse. Mankind will be restored to the true God in his kingdom. Man will have peace and safety and all the things that God provides. And again, we will have this. We can experience even joy now as we wait for this. Just the promise enough is to give us joy, and we wait and hope for it. So the kingdom of God will reverse the curse and reconcile us to God. Our warfare has ended. We're no longer at war with God. We're reconciled. We're no longer enslaved to Satan. We're redeemed. We have peace through victory. We have, and God's kingdom rules us because the king has won the victory. Let's look at the words that were read today. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And then Matthew gives the interpretation for the non-Hebrew-speaking people. God with us. That's what God sent us. He sent us his own presence in the form of a baby who would grow up. He's now the king of God's kingdom, but he has to wait to take his place on the throne. He has to grow up. But just the fact that the king's son is born is a time of celebration. And so Isaiah said in chapter 9 of his book, let's read this together. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Keep reading. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. And so this is a declaration of God sending a king. This world is in rebellion to the kingdom of God. He's going to send a king to bring it back under the rule of God. Where God is king, that means his will is done. But is his will being done here now? No. That's why he had to send a king in. And he'll establish justice and righteousness. He'll put an end to the rebellion. But he does it in a way that brings him the most glory and gives us the most mercy. When Jesus came, he preached the good news of God, saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, change your mind, change your life, and believe in the good news. So this is good news that God has sent his king, and he's offering amnesty to all the rebels who will turn to him. We can have peace with God. He went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And it was such that the news spread about him through Syria. They brought all the sick people to him, and he healed them with various diseases and pains and demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics. He healed them all. Large crowds followed him. They believed God is coming now to bring his kingdom. And yet, there's still resistance. There's still rebellion. The warfare has not ended. Most of the kingdom promises are not yet fulfilled. We have the best part of the kingdom, and what is that? God is with us. We have Emmanuel. So Jesus came. He put an end to the power of the devil. The devil's power was our sin and our rebellion. We knew that we couldn't go back to God because of our sin, and so the devil could threaten us with death, with the power of death. How? Because we rebelled against God. That put us under the threat of death, and so how can we go back to God? And so God offers us amnesty. He offers us forgiveness in Christ, and that takes away the devil's power. We have peace with God. We have justice and righteousness because of what Christ has done. We can have life with God our Father. We can have life in Christ's kingdom as God designed it. And that's what joy is. Joy is living the life that God designed. Joy is being in relationship with God. It's Emmanuel's kingdom of peace and joy. And so when we think of Christmas, we think of paradise lost and paradise regained. God sent a Savior into a lost and hostile world to offer himself out of love so that he might turn cold, hard hearts of stone and melt them into love for God. He wants people to repent. And so he sends first his sacrifice, showing his love, and then he sends his power, enforcing his kingdom. If he came the first time, the first advent, in power and enforced his righteousness and enforced his law, what would happen to the world? What would happen to us? If he came punishing sin, where would we be? And so what did he do? He sent Christ first as a savior. And as the angel told Joseph, give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves, Jehovah saves. And so he gave him that name to be a savior, saving us from our sins. He came showing his power over the devil, over sickness, over death, and yet those things remain. Why do they remain? The curse is still here, and it won't be removed fully until Christ comes back. And when he comes back in power, he'll defeat the devil, and he will punish all the enemies of God. But God is patient. God is kind. He wants those enemies to repent and turn to him. And so we're giving the world a message of peace and joy. This means God sends the Savior before he sends the one who will bring justice. And to do that, God had to make it fair and just. He did it by taking the punishment himself. And so Jesus became our righteousness. He traded his righteousness for our sin. And so God could be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. So when we think of Christmas, we're seeing the middle of this promise take place. The King has come. He's offered himself as a sacrifice. He's taken away our sin so God can legally forgive us of our sins, taking away all the power of the devil. He disarmed the devil at the cross, and he gave us life in the resurrection. So we can go about telling the good news to the world that there's peace with God. There's life with God. God is with us in the form of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I will go away, the world will rejoice, but I will come back and you will rejoice. I will send a helper. He will take my place, and that is the Holy Spirit. So we think of Christmas. We look back at the first advent of Christ, coming as the Savior, riding on the donkey into the city, proclaiming peace. And we give this message of peace because the next time Christ comes, he won't be riding on a donkey. He won't be the suffering servant. He'll be the conquering king. And he will save his people who are being persecuted by the world, and he will put an end to the rebellion and punish all of those outside of Christ. So our message is one of peace in the midst of war, a relationship with God in the midst of rebellion and alienation, and hope as we look forward to a time when there will be no sickness and no death. Even as we are becoming sick and dying in these bodies. We just had news of someone from our fellowship going into hospice. But we have the hope of eternal life because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so we are announcing to the world the hope that we have. And the hope itself is a form of joy, even though we haven't the fullness of it. Let's pray. Father, We thank you that we have this message of a Savior, even though there's still so much trouble in the world, even though there's so much sickness, so much death, so much strife, so much war, all of these things are around us. And yet, there's no peace in the world, but you, Lord Jesus, have given us peace. You've made it possible, and we have now peace with God through you, through your sacrifice, and through your victory at the cross and the empty tomb. And you're even with us now in the form of the Holy Spirit. We have you, Emmanuel, in our lives now. Help us as we take your message to others. May they see the offer of amnesty is for them, that they too can repent and believe the good news, that you, the great King, are offering them forgiveness and entrance into your kingdom and into your family. Fill us with this knowledge. May this joy take deep root in our hearts. You've given us the greatest gift that we could ever have, the one we needed, a Savior. And we know that you're all-powerful, and one day you'll put an end to all the suffering and all the sin and injustice. And we thank you, Lord, and we wait upon you for that. Help us day by day to remember this truth, that you are with us, even though we don't see you. We haven't seen you, but we love you, and we trust in you, and we wait for that time when we will see you face to face. So, as it says in the book of Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So come, Lord Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.